All right, we're actually going back to David, and one of the benefits of building a notebook is sometimes I don't get through all my notes in a lesson, and so if you have the notebook, you can go back and fill in the blanks, which we're going to work through David's life, and then come up to Solomon this morning. Before we do, it's good to see Mike Mummert back in church again, and we believe Holly will be back next week, but good to see people coming back. Also good to see Edna much better this week than last week and in church as well. And good to see you. And let's see if I'm missing anybody else. It looks like mostly the home crowd this morning. But Scott Braddock's mother went into the hospital down south this morning in Florida. She's 81 years old and shallow breathing. They're not sure where that's going to lead. And we want to pray over Scott's mother as we get started this morning. So let's bow in prayer. Father, we love you, and Lord, thank you for this day. We know on Diane and Scott and Katie and Zach's heart is Scott's mother. And Father, we don't know all that's going on. Lord, we pray that you would direct the doctors, and Lord, we pray that she might be able to bounce back from it. But Lord, we also know that Lord, you have a will, and so Lord, we submit to that will. We pray, Lord, that you would bless Diane and Scott, the family, Lord, with peace this morning. And, Lord, we pray that we would hear some good news, maybe some improvement throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're dealing with David. And in your notebook, I think we got down to his, we talked about his childhood and giving children responsibility and how that prepared David for future responsibility, and how that our kids need to have responsibility at all ages so that they develop a capacity to serve the Lord. And that doesn't happen unless we work with them on responsibility. And when they don't fulfill responsibility, we need to help them to understand that that is a huge character flaw. And you don't get to be somewhere without being faithful in the little things or the little responsibilities of life. We learned that in his childhood. We learned about his calling remember, he was chosen of all of Jesse's children. He's the youngest. He's the one that's chosen. And then thirdly, in your notes under David, we learn about his commitment to serve. And I'd like you to turn over to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Because in Acts 13, the Bible gives a commentary here of David's life. I want you to look at verse number 36. Verse number 36. All right? The Bible says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Or here is a note that one of the characteristics of David's life was that he served his own generation. He was a servant. His commitment to serve, that took place in his home where he was committed to serve his father, and did that as a shepherd, taking care of the sheep. David served Saul, right, and Israel by being willing to fight Goliath. You remember that? And in fact, he was Saul's armor bearer for a period of time. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 16:21. And David served Saul by playing the harp for him. Remember that he served Saul that way. And then he served Israel as king those 33 years, all of Israel. And so we see his commitment to serve. Next, we see his conquests. His conquests. And if you have your notes and you want to look at map number 51 on your note, your handout for David, you'll see the areas that David conquered. David's united tribes, and then you'll see him coming. The small map down below shows David's conquest of Jerusalem and where he came from and how he came up to conquer Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem eventually became named the city of David. But we see his conquest. If you go to map number 52, map number 52, you'll see in the green all the territory of David's conquest. And so all that green area is area in which he conquered or he expanded. Saul's kingdom is in the purple. David's kingdom is in the green. And you can see all that David conquered. And he was a warrior, and God blessed his reign as Israel expanded in their land. Then, after his conquest, we'll move on to his crimes against God. His crimes against God. Adultery with Bathsheba, the numbering of Israel, and there was one more that I didn't put down here. Does anybody know the other sin or mistake, both, that David committed in Scripture? We know the adultery, obviously. We know the numbering of Israel. And what's the other one? He had the Ark of the Covenant hauled on a cart. And what was God's plan? God's plan was that people, that the priest would bear the Ark. But David wanted to be efficient. And David wanted to make time. And David wanted to do it differently. And so these three things we have recorded in Scripture. There's no doubt David was not a perfect man. We get to the end in the conclusion, and I'm going to share with you why he was a man after God's own heart, even though these were somewhat big things in his life that kind of stick out. Like, David was a great king, but he had adultery with Bathsheba. David was a great king, but he numbered Israel and 70,000 people died because of the plague. You know, they weren't little things, were they? Boy, they stick out like a sore thumb in David's life. So his crimes against God. Next, look at his confession. His confession. Three things about his confession that we find in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 is, if you compare him to Saul, Saul did not take responsibility for his sin. David took full responsibility for his sin. I have acknowledged my sin before thee, O God. It is my fault. It's not Bathsheba's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. Lord, it's me. Lord, I was wrong. And does anybody know what the word confess means in the New Testament? Dave? Okay, it means to agree with someone and to say the same thing. David, when he sinned against God, he said the same thing that God would say. That's biblical confession. When we agree and see it as God sees it, and say what it is. It was sin. David didn't say it was a disease. David didn't say, well, I'll try to do better next time, Lord, but it really wasn't that big a deal. No, he acknowledged exactly what it was. And he took full responsibility. He acknowledged his sin before the Lord. There were a number of calamities that David faced in his life. He faced the rebuke of his brothers. Remember when he went out to war? What are you doing here, David? And they judged his motives. Good reminder for us to be careful to judge people's motives. You can do a lot of damage that way. And his brothers certainly did that. Then the jealousy and pursuit of Saul making David a fugitive. And this happened for a number of years. This was not like a three-month ditty. This was year after year in David's life that he faced this jealousy and this pursuit of Saul. Remember the burning of Ziklag? Remember they came to the city and everything was burnt? And all their belongings were destroyed? And then their wives and their children were taken? And And not only did David feel responsible for his wife and children, but man, all of his men, all of their wives were taken. And remember, these people were loyal to David, but boy, I mean, that thing turned on a dime. And David had to live with that, and thankfully, they were able to restore their families back together. Then remember the sorrow of Saul and Jonathan dying that David faced. He wept over both. Then the death of one of his children as chastisement from God. We know that he lost the first child with Bathsheba. Then the inner family turmoil between Amnon and Tamar. I mean, you look at David's life, and there was just some heavy, heavy situations that David bore. And yet, in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 10, there's a little phrase about David that is encouraging. It says, and David went on. Through every calamity, David went on. He persevered. He came through it. He came out the other side. Numbers of calamities. Absalom's betrayal, working underneath of him, and the death of Absalom and how it happened. All of those things were calamities that David faced in his life. Hey, if you have calamity today, you can look at David's life and say, and David went on. And put your name in there. And your name went on. And we can only do that because of Christ's help. Then, next, his comfort. Or his comfort and our comforts. What did he write most of? What book of the Bible? The Psalms. The Psalms. I got to ask you, in the midst of all of those calamities, and most of those were written during calamities, do you think David found comfort in those things as he writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble? As he writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Do you think that provided comfort for David? I believe so. And the question is, do you think those Psalms provide comfort for people today? Absolutely. How many times have you run to the Psalms and got some comfort when you needed comfort in the midst of calamity? He certainly had comfort. He saw God's provision. He saw God's protection. He saw God's promises. And those things are recorded all throughout the Psalms. Well, there are some spiritual lessons that I want to give you about David as we wrap up his life. And obviously, I'm giving you a survey, so to speak, of David's life. Back in 14, I think, I taught, I don't know how many lessons, 12, 15 lessons on David's life. So there's much more that you can dig into in his life. But some spiritual lessons. Serving others is the way up God's ladder. Serving others is the way up God's ladder. David served his daddy. He started out with the sheep. And whatever role he was placed in, he was a servant. And God saw that. And the scripture is true. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, right? And David humbled himself. He performed the role of a servant. He reflected Christ in that way. And we learn from his life that serving others is the way up God's ladder. Number two, we learn to be a person of loyalty. Loyalty. David was loyal to Saul, who really disliked David a lot. But David honored the position and he honored the man, even though Saul wasn't loyal to him. I think it was probably easier to be loyal to Jonathan, who was his friend, who would back David and even submitted to David becoming king when Jonathan could have become king as Saul's son. It was probably easier for David to be loyal to Jonathan than it was to be loyal to Saul. But remember the one time he cut a piece of his garment and the weight that was on David, and from that point on, touch not the Lord's anointed. Even though Saul wasn't acting in a right manner, even though Saul was away from God, David honored the position. The position, boy, that's an important thing for us to remember in the day and age in which we're living in. I still have to remember, even after this week and already changes that are taking place, that the powers that be are ordained of God. God. And I still have to pray for those people. Though there's a lot of wickedness in their hearts and they're going to make wicked decisions, but listen, Saul was that way with David, was he not? This was a man that was looking to kill David. I mean, he was chasing him into places where David had to hide for days. And yet David somehow kept a right spirit and kept a honoring of the position of king over Israel. And really important thing to take away from David's life. Number three, giants are overcome with courage and faith. Giants are overcome in David's life, in the nation of Israel, in our lives. They are overcome with courage and faith. If you're facing a giant, it will take courage and faith to overcome it. You can't sit there and stare at it every day. That's what Israel did, the nation of Israel. Goliath would come out and he would mock their armies and mock the people and mock their God. And for many days, Israel just looked at the giant, was paralyzed, and did nothing. But when David came on the scene, David came with courage and David came with faith. And one of the things that at times, young in our church can provide is courage and faith. Now, it amazes me. Here's the armies of Israel. These people were experienced. I mean, you know, they just didn't pick them up off the street, but these are the armies of Israel. These people were selected to fight. Maybe had past battle experience with the Philistines. And they're all, we can't beat him. But here comes young David. Young David, late in his teens, probably at the oldest, most would say, probably mid-teens. And David comes and says, oh, yeah, God can take him down. And youth brought about courage and faith to the whole nation of Israel. Those of you that are older in our church this morning, don't diminish the youth and what the youth can do for God. David just had courage and faith. He knew how to use a sling, but he went there saying the battle is the Lord's. The Lord will take down Goliath. Remember this, just because it's never been done doesn't mean it can't be done. Goliath, we're not going to be able to kill him. Nobody's ever even tried. Nobody's ever even gone out to war with him. We ain't never done it that way before. Well, we're going to do it that way before. We're going to do it new. And David stepped into those shoes, and God used him in a great way. Giants are overcome with courage and faith. Lesson number four through David's life. Revenge is never the way to go. Revenge is never the way to go. If David's like you and me, he must have had thoughts of revenge at times. You ever have a thought of revenge? You ever have somebody that does something and, man, if they're going to do that, then that's not the way to go. Not the way to go. Boy, David exemplified that. Saul didn't. Saul was exactly the opposite. David has slain his thousands, or Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Saul fills up with jealousy. Going to get back. Going to take him down. David didn't. Drastic difference between the two. Revenge is never the way to go. Number five, lessons from David's life. Learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Turn over to 1 Samuel 30. It'd be a good verse for you to mark in your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. This is right after the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag and smitten it. Verse number 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse number 3 of 1 Samuel 30. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept till they couldn't weep anymore. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I mean, you want to talk about life falling apart. Life fell apart on that day. You want to talk about a man that was very, very low. Not only did he experience personal loss in a great way, but the men around him all lost everything. And they're ready to stone him. Now everything is turned. Now everybody's against David. David's a loner, so to speak. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Brethren, there will be times when there's nobody there to encourage you. And you get really bad news. And something really bad happens. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. If there's nobody to encourage you, I want you to still understand you don't have to live in depression and discouragement. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. And that's where you encourage yourself, in the Lord. You think about who He is. You run to His Word and find what you need. But you encourage yourself in the Lord. David learned to encourage himself in the Lord. There's another lesson that we get from David's life, and it's a phrase that you're familiar with. Idle time is the devil's workshop. Idle time is the devil's workshop. All right? How do we know this in David's life? Where would we bring this out of David's life? What experience, Dave? Okay. In a time when kings went forth to battle, is the verbiage of the Scripture. David didn't go forth to battle. Now, I don't know why, but David was not, watch this, he was not fulfilling his personal responsibilities. That gets real dangerous. That gets real dangerous. It gets real dangerous when we grow men and women up at 18, 19, 20, 21 years old that don't have personal responsibilities. Because idle time is the devil's workshop. Devil will take that. He'll utilize that. He'll fill that time up. He'll accomplish his purposes in somebody that's not about their personal responsibilities. David didn't fulfill his personal responsibilities, and as a result, it turned into a disaster. Idle time. Be careful of idle time. Stay busy in your work for the Lord. Well, I just need more free time in your life. No, you don't. Free time, time without purpose, is very, very dangerous. We learn it from David's life. Idle time is the devil's workshop. There's another lesson we learn from David's life, and that is hidden sin compounds itself. Hidden sin compounds itself. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. By the way, there are passages to a lot of these on the side. We didn't go through every single passage because of time, but you can look them up and find these truths in these passages. So David first commits the sin of lust, right? The sin of lust, he looks with his eyes, right? And instead of turning away from that look, that thought process turned into an action, right? Adultery with Bathsheba. So now we're two sins down the road. But David's got to make this look like Bathsheba's husband died so that he could marry Bathsheba, so that he could have a child with Bathsheba. He's got to cover his tracks. And so all of this taking place, and how does he manipulate or choreograph the situation? He's got to jump through a lot of hoops, doesn't he? He's got to get the head of the military involved. Hey, when we go to battle next, put Uriah up to the front. And watch this. Hidden sin compounds itself. I got to cover this, and I got to cover this, and I got to make sure this door's closed. That's how David lived. It's deceitful. Hidden sin, we think we can cover, but we know we can't cover. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. And these passages remind us in David's life, man, this thing became a mess. It became a long thing to unravel. And ultimately what happened? David was found out. And lust turned to adultery, turned to deception of others, turned to murder. And if David would have just stopped at lust and said, God, my eyes, I just used my eyes wrong, God. I don't want this to go any further. God, please forgive me. Lord, cleanse me of this. Lord, I need to forsake this. It's going to drive me in a wrong direction. Oh, how much would have been preserved down the road, but hidden sin compounds itself. Brethren, that's a principle of the Scripture. And that means that principle is true in your life and in my life. That if we continue to approve hidden sin in our lives, it's going to rack up. It's going to compound like interest compounds in our lives. Lastly, last lesson we learned from David's life is sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. You look at the numbering of the people. A plague came from God. You look at his adultery and he loses a child. In the midst of all of that, David is still pronounced as a man after God's own heart. And so when we consider that phrase, what made David a man after God's own heart? There are a few things that I give you here in the conclusion that you may want to write in your notes. Number one, his ability to see the battles in his life as battles that belong to God. Now, God led him in the battle with Goliath. He led David to go, but he led David to go in the power of the Lord, didn't he? And he led David to go, and David realized this battle's not mine. This battle is the Lord's. Now, watch this. He had another battle with Saul, didn't he? For quite a few years. And God led him not to fight that battle. You know, David was anointed as king much earlier than he actually became king, right? This young man was anointed as king, but he didn't become king till he was 30 years old. He waited, watch this, he waited for God to take care of the battle with Saul. One of the reasons David was a man after God's own heart is because David let the battles in his life, let God take care of the battles. I wonder if you're in a battle and you're trying to take the battle over. One of the reasons David was a man after God's own heart was David turned the battles over to the Lord. You know, God loves it when we can say, Lord, this is yours. I can't fight this. Lord, this is your battle to fight. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be faithful to you. And Lord, you got to take care of this. Maybe there's something in your life right now that is roaring in your soul. Best thing to do is, Lord, that battle belongs to you. I'm not going to let it dominate my soul. I'm not going to try to operate in the flesh. I'm not going to manipulate it. Lord, I need you to take care of it. We find that in David's life. Number two, why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he saw his sin the same as God did. And watch this, he dealt with it God's way. There's nobody in Scripture that is without sin. There's no human being on this world that lives without sin. But we must deal with sin God's way. And he dealt with it with confession, and he asked for cleansing. Somebody wrote this, spiritual health is reflected more in how we handle our sin than in the sin itself. Your spiritual health is many times measured by what you do when you sin. Here, David confessed his sin and he asked for cleansing. Following God is not a journey that has an arrival point here on earth. No Christian here is going to be able to say, well, I've arrived. We're not going to arrive on this side of glory. There are going to be things that we get into that we shouldn't get into. Sins that we commit that we shouldn't commit. It's not that we have an arrival point, but rather it is a pursuit that we keep returning to. And each time we sin, we call on God to recreate a clean heart in us. My friend, that is a heart after God's own heart. Not that we live for perfection, and I want to be careful when I say that God's not expecting perfection, because sometimes we use that kind of phraseology to say, well, this is just the way I am, and I'm just going to... No, we ought to strive for perfection. We ought to strive not to be brought under the power of sin, not to be involved in sin. But when we are, we must pursue and keep returning back to the Lord and saying the same thing that God says about our sin and asking God to create or recreate a clean heart. And he did that in Psalm 51, didn't he? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David was a great king, the greatest king in Israel's history. By the way, you'll see in the future, he was the standard by which all the other kings were measured. Now, the standard for all of us today is not David. The standard is Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus Christ is the ultimate standard. But when you go through the kings, you'll see it will talk about David, their father, or David, his father, because he was the standard within the kings. He definitely showed his humanity through vulnerability and weakness and sin, but his willingness that even he was a king to come before God just as a human being and say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And the higher you climb the ladder, the harder those words become. And David climbed the ladder pretty high in God's scheme of things. And yet, he was able to say, Lord, I was wrong. When he went and got the ark the second time, he put bears on the ark. He corrected it. We're not going to do it my way. We're going to do it God's way. When he numbered the people, he says, I have sinned. We find this true. His ability to see the battle as the Lord's and his ability to see his sin the same as God did. And so we close David today. And a king that, remember, was king over Judah, the southern portion, for 7 years. And then he was king over all of Israel, including the northern tribes, for 33 years. And at the end of King David's reign, when he's about ready to pass off the scene, around 70 years old, his son, Adonijah, decides that he's going to be king, or there's a push for Adonijah to become the replacement to David, and that doesn't happen. There's a change, and David's involved in that, and the priest is involved in that, and Nathan the prophet's involved in this transition, and we're going to learn next week in transitions, boy, there's always a lot of spiritual conflict. Spiritual conflict when David was leaving the kingship, and it was opening now, who's going to take it next? And yet Solomon becomes the king, and we'll introduce you to that next week.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.